Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-53.com.
Well, I was horrified when I saw the plight of the people in Haiti after the earthquake. But a similar event could happen right here in the United States, and that's why you should call the freeze-dry guy at 866-404-FOOD, that's 866-404-FOOD, and purchase a supply of his products. Freeze-drying is a great way to preserve food. I know because I bought a supply 40 years ago, and when I opened a can recently, the food was as fresh and tasty as when I purchased it. We're living in uncertain times, so if you'd like to have a supply of ground beef, diced beef, chicken, vegetables, or fruit on hand, call the freeze-dry guy at 866-404-FOOD, that's 866-404-FOOD, and mention you heard about him right here at Radio Liberty.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com.
Now, the other thing is, of course, we need to understand that behind everything going on today are powerful spiritual forces. If you have not read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, shame on you. You need to read the book, or if you can't afford it, go to our website at RadioLiberty.com, scroll down to videos. The first video there is the talk from which the book came. Who really runs the world and is moving us towards this one world government and this one world religion and this one world monetary system and one world ruler? Well, it's all there in the Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to hear our talk on the secret or the forbidden secret. You need to hear our talk on the financial Armageddon, because we point out this whole scenario was engineered. There is a timeline that they're following, and when you understand the timeline, you can begin to understand what's going on. If you want to understand the plan, the ultimate plan for everything going on today, you need to read the New Ten Commandments. It's called the Earth Charter. It was written by the nephew of the most wealthy and powerful man in America, and that certainly is neither Warren Buffett or Bill Gates. If you believe that Gates and Buffett are the most wealthy people in America, you've been listening to Rush Limbaugh too long, you've been reading Time magazine too long, and you have no idea what's really going on in the world. But of course, Stephen Rockefeller, David Rockefeller's nephew, wrote the Earth Charter along with a couple of other extremely wealthy people, all of them deeply involved in the occult. There's 16 points to the Earth Charter, but they call it the New Ten Commandments. It has been accepted throughout the world as being implemented, but of course they can't let the American people understand the plan. You can pull it down off the internet, or if you get any of our other items, just ask for a free copy of the Earth Charter. We'll be glad to send it to you free of charter. The New Ten Commandments for the world, because they don't like the old Ten Commandments, because they don't like the God that gave them to Moses there on Mount Sinai. Well, we do hope, of course, you'll want to get the DVD by Pat Wood on the Trilateral Commission. We hope you want to get the DVDs on They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, the 3-hour, 4-hour, or 10-hour version. We have a great new DVD. It's called The Specter Haunting America. It's the talk we gave last October. And it goes into the background of why are we seeing so many people with chronic disabling diseases in America today. Why are there so many people with allergies and with asthma and altered immune and allergic responses? Well, you'll certainly want to get the talk of the Spectre Haunting America. It's available on DVD. And then, of course, we do hope that if you didn't get to our conference last year, we do have the various talks there on CDs. There are 5 talks, and they are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you're out there across America and you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and help us support our 60 outlets that we have, where someplace across America every week people are having access to the truth, and these are radio stations, these are shortwave, these are internets, these are satellite connections. But if you'd like to, of course, help us, our number 1-800-544-8927, our webpage, radioliberty.com. Your job is to help other people out there and to introduce them to the idea that the media is controlled. There is a cabal that controls America. It involves the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderbergers, the Council on Foreign Relations. Senator Barry Goldwater warned us against these organizations in his book With No Apologies. Incidentally, we do have used copies of that book. You want to get that and read the chapter on the CFR, starting with page 280. You can get the used copy of the book. If you don't have it in your library, you need to get it. And then we ask you, of course, to pray for America. But please pray for Radio Liberty. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's got to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station you're listening to. They're my views, and for the next hour, hopefully, they're going to be the views of Carol Matriciana, and, of course, from Carol Films. And she's a film producer. I've written books out of India. It's her last book, which we carry. But Carol certainly has put together a great deal of information on the Islamic religion, on the Islamic threat. Ladies and gentlemen, most of what you hear about the so-called Islamic radicals, you know, that are going to blow up America is false, but there really is an Islamic threat. There are Islamic terrorist training camps all across America, mostly inhabited by and used by black Muslims who've been recruited into this radical form of Islam in the federal prison system. They've been recruited by imams, radical imams sent from Saudi Arabia, and of course they are given special privileges if they convert to the Muslim faith. And then, of course, when they are discharged from the federal prisons, they're given $10, a new suit, and a one-way bus ticket to a place called Islamburg in New York, where they will be further indoctrinated in military training. Many of the people sent to Pakistan for military training and involved with, of course, the military, the they're actually going to Pakistan and they're being trained in explosives and military training and coming back to America, and you're not hearing about them. There are about 60 of these radical Islamic training camps across America. If you haven't heard our interviews with Paul Williams, you need to learn about this. And this is never talked about by the media. They'll talk about the homegrown terrorists, but not about the black radical Islamic people who have been trained in our prisons, recruited in our prisons, and unfortunately are waiting for the time when the word is given. With that as a background, Carol Matriciana, thank you so very much for being with us.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. It's always such an entertainment sort of mind-boggling being with you, because you have got so much information. Really, it's not entertainment, it's information overload. You are just so knowledgeable on so many things. It's incredible.
Well, of course, we have a lot of smart guests. That's where I get my information. That information I just put out came from my interviews with Paul Williams, who's an independent investigator. We've interviewed him on his past books. He's been very accurate in everything he said, but this is really the most incredible story. Incidentally, he will be a speaker at our conference, and that's going to be on the 17th of October of this year. We do hope many of you will want to be coming, and certainly we've had Carol as a speaker in the past. But anyway, Carol, let's get to the subject for tonight. And certainly, I know you are very, very concerned about the radical form of Islam, both in America and certainly they are training the Palestinians and the young Muslim people in all sorts of suicide activities. They're using television to capture the minds of the Islamic youth in preparation for the coming war against the West. You go right ahead.
Well, yes, and I really wanted to draw your attention to this incredible Reviving the Islamic Spirit conference that's going to be on in the Convention Center in Long Beach, California. I was, an email was sent to me a little while ago saying that was I aware of this convention? It's an attempt by the youth to help overcome all the new challenges of communication and integration in American society. So here they are renting the convention center in Los Angeles, a huge center, and remembering the days of Allah. They've got all these various speakers.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Carol. Go right ahead, Carol.
Well, it's this big sort of rally, this 2010 get-together in the convention center where it's going to be a unique youth effort, they call it, where they want to revive the Islamic spirit. And they say that it's not being put together by any organization, and supposedly it's not involved in ideological discourse. It just showcases Islamic leadership from across the globe sharing a common platform before the widest cross-section of our community. Well, you know, while I agree that there are many, many factions and friction between Islam, I mean, there's all the various different, if you kind of want to call them denominations, but there are all these divisions within Islam where we've got the Sunni Muslims and the Shiite Muslims, and of course you have put it together, you know, so well. But people, I think they sort of bunch Muslims as sort of Muslims together, but they don't understand that Pakistan, is that Shiite, is that Sunni? Well, Pakistan, of course, is primarily Sunni. But then we've got the Syria is Sunni, which is backed by Saudi Arabia. And then we've got the Shiites that come from another. They split from Sunnis over the issue of the successors to Muhammad. So here we had Muhammad, and there was a split that in about the fourth caliph coming down, that the Shiites believe that the successor of Muhammad should have been Ali, his son-in-law, and the others believe that it should have been through the lineage of his wife. Well, this is a huge friction and division between the Muslims. But the one thing that they can all agree on is that Israel, the Jews, must be sent out of the land of Israel, and that the infidels are their enemies, the Christians and Jews are their enemies. So this is the one thing that ties them together. And while we have all these incredible wars going on, you know, across the world, we see that Obama, who has admitted that he is a Sunni, he has admitted that his background is Sunni, that his grandfather is Sunni, and it is very important for him to, you know, be Obama in Iran, sort of reading between the lines, as you know, that even though the war is imminent, that Obama must keep this sort of peace within Sunni and Shiite. So it's very interesting because Iran is Shiite.
Hold that thought. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Carol Matriciana. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Carol was just saying that, of course, that President Obama is a Sunni Muslim. Now, that may sound rather absurd to anybody out there in the listening audience. How could President Obama be a Sunni after all? I mean, he professes to be a Christian. He attended a Christian church with Reverend Wright. Of course, Reverend Wright preached very little Christianity, mostly hatred of America. And, of course, people would remember that, of course, President Obama wanted to do away with the day of prayer. He certainly, his people disinvited Franklin Graham, who was going to be giving a speech at the White House or some official organization. But for the skeptic out there, if you go to our website at RadioLiberty.com and scroll down to other videos on the web or videos across the web, and just scroll down there to Obama admits he's Muslim, you'll certainly want to see this one segment where President Obama talks about his Muslim faith. And of course, he does correct himself sort of a little self-consciously when he said this on national television.
Well, George Stephanopoulos actually,
yes,
sort of
corrected him, and he looks very, very disconcerted when he suddenly realized he's talked about on national television about his Muslim faith. But I think you're absolutely right, Carol. I do believe a war is coming in the Middle East, and of course it may very well be that the Sunnis would just as soon have fight to the last American soldier taking out the Shia, because the Sunnis fear the Shia Muslim influence. The Shias, of course, actually control Iran today. They have a very strong influence in, they are the majority of the people in Iraq, and they control Syria, even though it's predominantly Sunni. Why, the very small, about 15% Shia, control the Sunni. They've slaughtered the Sunnis in the past, and the Sunnis are just waiting for the opportunity to kill the Shia Muslims in Syria. So there's a tremendous festering sore over there between the two factions, and there is a Shia crescent starting with Iran and extending into Syria and then Lebanon, and then of course most of the rest of the region there is predominantly Sunni. But you pick up the story.
Yes, I mean, you see, people don't think that this is a very big issue, but I think that they've got to understand that there are these divisions within Islam. But the most interesting thing is when the foreign minister of Egypt, he was quoted about a month ago, and I think that you carried this story by Avi Lipkin that said that there was this meeting with President Obama, and he assured the foreign minister of Egypt that he was a Sunni Muslim, and his father was a Muslim, and his stepfather was a Muslim, and according to Avi Lipkin, the Saudis were saying that there would be a Muslim in the White House in 2008. And the Saudis, it could have had a lot to do with Saudi money that got Obama in, because, you know, all of a sudden Obama comes out of nowhere, we know that he wasn't born in America. He will not show his birth certificate, or there's been such issues over the birth certificate, but we know that the passport that he traveled on to Pakistan could not be a pro American, I mean, it couldn't be an American passport, because that passport is not allowed in Pakistan. So it's very possible that Obama could have been an illegal alien student, that, whatever it is, the fact is that he has admitted to the overseas press, perhaps not in America, or the Americans like to think of him saying, well, he's a Christian, and he's said he's a Christian. But you see, there's a jihad of deception within Islam, and you are allowed to deceive if it means that you're doing it for Allah. So the idea of saying that you're a Christian, Muslims totally understand that is acceptable within the jihad of deception, but Obama has never discounted that he is a Muslim. He has never said he's not a Muslim, let's say that if he is a Christian, he would say, well, I was raised a Muslim, but now I'm a Christian, I've given up my Muslim faith, but he doesn't talk like that. So the Muslims completely understand that, what his background is, what his name is, what he comes from. So the friction here is between the Sunni and the Shiite, as you very clearly said, and of course we know that Iran is predominantly Shiite Muslims, and that they are waiting for the Mahdi to come in, the 12th Imam, the coming world leader, so to speak. And according to Shiite doctrine, this Imam must be a biological successor of Ali, and he must be sinless and infallible and on all matters of Islamic doctrine, and he will intercede for Muslims in the afterlife. And all of these things are very important to the Shia Muslim and not so important to the Sunni. So, we have these different ideas and beliefs and extremism, if you will say. So even within Islam, there are these differences. But when it gets up to the political arena, it gets really scary. And Obama must be in here to pacify. Being a Sunni, his place in pacifying Iran is quite an important political maneuver, I would say. But anyway, that is one very interesting thing that is going to happen, particularly as we see so many wars and frictions with the various Muslim countries, the Arab nations, going on around the place. But
well, I share your concern, Carol. I believe that we're in for a very difficult time. I do not believe we ever should have gotten over, put our troops over in the Middle East. Certainly, Samuel Huntington warned Americans. Samuel Huntington was a professor of history at Harvard, and he wrote a book called The Clash of Civilizations and some articles for the Council on Foreign Relations by that same title. And his basic theme was, certainly there are many civilizations in the world today, but the worst thing that the Americans could ever do would be to get into a battle with the Muslim world, because there are well over a billion Muslims. They hold their faith. It's very important to them. And if America were ever to get into a war with the Muslim world, it could be a catastrophe for the United States. And yet that is exactly what the members of the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, and the Bilderbergers are doing at the present time, and they're preparing the American people. They're sending out all sorts of books and propaganda and spit a great deal of money on the Internet and having their speakers go out to convince us that we're going to have to go to war with Iran. If we get into a war with Iran, of course, we don't know whether how the war is going to end, and it could very well be a stepping stone from a war with Iran to a war with the Muslim world. And if that happens, may heaven help us, because, first of all, we can't afford another war. Secondly, war is inherently wrong. Iran has not hurt the United States. It does not threaten the United States. Even if Iran had the nuclear weapon, it is not going to use it against Israel, because they know there would be terrible consequences for using it. China has the nuclear weapons. We're not concerned about that. Russia has nuclear weapons. Pakistan has nuclear weapons. Israel has nuclear weapons. India has nuclear weapons. But oh my goodness, wouldn't it be terrible if Iran were to get nuclear weapons? I think that we certainly should let, if Iran is determined to get them, let them have them. And let them know if they ever use them, there'll be terrible consequences. But the difficulty is, we're not, we don't even know for certain that they're building it. If they are, there's nothing we can do to stop them other than to plunge ourselves into a war, and a war could have disastrous consequences. We can't pay our bills now. Can we? We've already put $1 trillion into the war in the Middle East, according to Joseph Stiglitz, an economist, former head of the Council of Economic Advisors under President Clinton. Joseph Stiglitz says that the war we've already entered is going to end up costing $3 trillion, taking care of the veterans and paying their benefits after the after this war is over. Can we afford another war in addition to the $3 trillion war we're already waging?
Well, you see, while all that, of course, is going on, and while the political foray is there, and of course we know from the religion of Islam how much they hate Israel and the Jews, so we've got this problem festering. But here at home, a lot of people just do not understand what Islam is because they've got this incredible marketing to show that they are a religion of peace, that they are just such an understanding group of people. And for instance, you know, in this coming up towards the end of May, May 29th to 31st in Long Beach, California, where they've got this huge reviving the Islamic spirit going on at the convention center, where they want to put this religion across as a religion of peace and sweet communication, and that they want to help the American people understand their ideals and that they are a peace-loving religion. So you have this going on the one hand, and of course they're a chameleon, very much like a chameleon, which is, you know, that there'll be all things to all people in a sense. So that's why I made the DVD, the four-part series, the four-part series called Islam Rising, to try and explain to people what Islam is all about, what is their religion about, what the Quran is. It's an Arabic book. It's a sacred book of Islam. It's broken up into 114 chapters called surahs, which cover all sorts of subjects of ethic and history and law and theology. And it's highly revered by Muslims as the direct and literal word of God.
Well, so we never should have allowed the amount
of... ...to split the throats of infidels, that they must convert people to by the edge of the sword. People must be converted to Islam. And
the question is, why are we bringing all the Muslims into this country? Why are we encouraging their immigration? Why are we doing something so illogical? We'll be right back in a moment. Carol, of course, the biggest mistake was back in 1960.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Chris, the whole idea of the Muslim faith is to take over any country they go into. And, of course, she's put together a four-part series called Islam Rising. That's Islam Rising. And just showing how their faith requires them to try to change America. And they are here, they are agents of the Islamic faith. Because their faith involves not only their religious belief, but their politics, everything centers around, of course, the Muslim faith, and of course, if you are a Muslim and you want to leave the faith, they will simply kill you. And if you suddenly are a Muslim and your daughter dishonors the family, you kill her. This was known as honor killing. These things are accepted in their society. They have an entirely different outlook. But certainly in France and in Great Britain today, the Muslims there are allowed to live under Sharia law. They're building mosques all across America. They are the most rapidly growing religion in the United States. There are many cities where they are the predominant force, and this is growing. And this is simply one aspect of this radical form of Islam. Some of these people are actually in military training camps. We have Muslims who are felons, and they're allowed to have automatic weapons and be trained in automatic weapons. And the FBI knows what's going on, and you'll never see this mentioned on the regular controlled media. Go right ahead, Carol.
Yes, one wonders. It just seems such an extraordinary dilemma, and it seems so confusing why the truth is held back. And this is one of the reasons that I brought together so many of the experts, renowned authors, authorities on Islam, and former Muslim terrorists even, to speak in this four-part series, almost 200 minutes, Islam Rising, to explain to us what is the basis of this? The former Muslim terrorist Kamal Saleem, Walid Shabbat, and Zakariya Anani present absolutely eye-opening information, and one wonders why mainstream press doesn't get hold of this, why they don't let the American people see this and be informed of this, be educated. One just wonders why they're doing it, and the most incredible barbaric faith of behavior towards women should be exposed, because here we are on the one hand trying to give women rights in America, and we fight for respect towards women, and yet the Quran shows no respect towards women. The behavior towards women in Islam is awful. A woman is said to have half a brain. There must be two witnesses to every, you know, a woman has to, where one woman, when she is raped, there have to be four witnesses to show that she's speaking the truth. And, you know, it's absolutely incredible how biased and weighted the unjust behavior towards women is. So in this movie, in my four-part series, Islam Rising, we brought in women, former Muslim women, Noni Darwish, and a brilliant Arab journalist, Brigitte Gabriel, and an American convert to Islam. She was Miss Alabama, and she converted she wasn't even told that the man that was wooing her initially, she didn't understand he was an Arab. He told her he was Mediterranean. And so part, this lying is so integrated in their dawah, or their duty to conquer, this urgency that they have to tell lies to, you know, proselytize in the campuses today, where so many women are being married to men that are deliberately proselytizing them in campuses, universities across America. In the movie Islam Rising, in the four-part DVD series, there's some wonderful authors, lecturers, Dr. Ron Carlson, Dr. William Wagner, and Peter Hammond, who are experts in Islam. Peter Hammond knows the Quran. He's read it. He teaches all about the various aspects. He's got a brilliant book out called Slavery, Terrorism, and Islam, and gives the historical roots and contemporary threats of Islam, and shows all the various things, the places in the Quran where a Muslim is expected to execute or mutilate people that will not submit to Islam. So, you know,
hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Carol, what was the other DVD you did on the barbarians? That's a wonderful, wonderful footage there. What was the title?
Oh, The New Barbarians, Dr. Stan. That was the one that opened my eyes to the whole sort of idea of what was taking place. In fact, a very brave French journalist producer came to me and offered me these hundreds of hours of footage off Arab TV that was about young children who were being trained, 10,000 a year, in these Arab camps. Young children being taught how to strap themselves with suicide bombs, how to become genocide bombs themselves, how to slit the throats of infidels. Their brainwashing, which began at a very, very young age, to say that they absolutely wanted to be a martyr. I mean, it's shocking, shocking footage of these young children, a little five-year-old, for instance, that says on camera that he wants to be a martyr, and asked why. The little boy says he wants to kill Jews. And this is so ingrained in these children, and you see little 7-year-olds and 9-year-olds and 11-year-olds just spewing out hatred towards the Jews, and that they absolutely are bent on killing them so that the first drop of blood that they shed can save their families. I mean, these little children are reared as martyrs so that They truly believe that if they, their first drop of blood will help 70 members of their family to become, to get into paradise, you know, to get into the Muslim paradise. And they absolutely believe that Allah is in complete control of all things, and that, you know, when all the governments and systems come to an end, and all people will face judgment based upon their deeds, that Muslims go to paradise and non-Muslims go to hell. So these little children, sort of their first drops of blood are guaranteed to get their family into a position in heaven. But the producer, this wonderful Frenchman, courageous cameraman, Pierre Rehoff, gave...
Well, that thought, Carol, will be back here in just a moment with Carol Matriciana. Yeah, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Carol Matriciana. She's just telling us about a wonderful film. I shouldn't say wonderful, but it's certainly a very, very, very gripping film that she's made called The New Barbarians. It's just about how the indoctrination of Islamic youth, certainly in the Muslim countries, 10,000 a year training to be terrorists, to kill themselves, suicide bombers, so that they and their families can get into paradise. And the really gripping films, you'll certainly want to see it, The New Barbarians. Carol, before we go on, I want you to give out your website so people can know how to get in touch with you and your ministry.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. My website's www.caryl, that's the way I spell my name, C-A-R-Y-L, TV, like television, .com, seven letters, CARYLTV.com. And there's the information there for Islam Rising, A Call to One World Ummah or Domination, and this incredible film, The New Barbarians Training Children to Kill, which just shows these young Muslims, zealots, how they're prepared to commit suicide. And, you know, the sort of, I think that one of the scary things about Islam is the combustion of religious ideology and political fervor that is sort of merged in this frightening influence over millions and millions of young Muslims worldwide. Many times we see them frothing at the mouth in front of TV cameras, whether they're in England or Spain or France. But when you see these young children on this footage, The New Barbarians, it's the most incredible footage that, I mean, I just took a sampling from hundreds of hours of actual footage off Arab TV, but children are indoctrinated through children's programming, through cartoons, Dr. Stan, in news footage. It's continually there, day by day. It continues to just daily condition and incite the masses towards such hatred and violence towards the Jews, and the Jews being in their land in Palestine. And I use the opportunity in The New Barbarians to teach the viewer about the history of Israel and the history of the Arab nations, what's happened, why this situation has come to where it is, what is Palestine, what is the Jewish Palestine problem, which the news just doesn't relay candidly or truthfully today. So I used the opportunity of these training camps and children being trained in them to actually give the history of the Palestinian issues, you know, and the Jewish issues, and see some of the gruesome aspects of brainwashing on this entire generation of young Muslims. It's incredible. And just seeing the growing fanatic hatred towards Jews and Christians, it's very, very scary. And of course, Kamal Salim, who is in the movie Islam Rising, he was one of these young children raised in a Muslim terrorist camp, and he gives his story in Islam Rising, he tells his story about how he was raised in these camps, and he can verify that the camps that we're talking about in the New Barbarians training young children, he was one of the young children trained, and he was touched by Yasser Arafat, and who was his hero. He didn't wash his body for 2 weeks after being touched by his hero, and he took the words of his hero so seriously that he became this terrorist and moved eventually from Damascus to Europe and started training in mosques across Europe, in Spain, in France, in England, eventually came to America and started training with an activist in mosques in America until he got into a car accident, which radically changed his life. Since then, he's become a Christian. He's changed from his Muslim faith to a faith in Jesus Christ and is very outspoken about the radical differences between the two faiths. And he is so bent on helping Americans understand the agenda of Islam, the radical jihadist agenda of Islam, because he was a terrorist. He gives it from his own experience and explains it so amazingly that one is just convinced that the news that we don't get in this country and any news that we do get about Islam being a religion of peace is such a lie. When you get these former Muslim terrorists, Walid Shabbat and Zakanani and Kamal Saleem, presenting this incredible information, one just has to listen and realize that we have been brainwashed through the media, through the mainstream media, into believing such a lie about Islam being a religion of peace.
Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 if you have a question for Carol, because this is a very important subject, certainly. You know, the problem is that if we did not have a lot of Muslims in this country, why would it not be such a problem? But they really are here. They are in training here. And certainly they're going to the mosque. They're being indoctrinated, in this radical form of Islam. And basically, of course, unfortunately, we have FBI agents who are actively going into the mosque and preaching a radical form of Islam, actually recruiting some of these people into this radical belief. And of course, there's two types of the Muslim belief. One is the regular Muslim belief, and then there's this fanatical jihad belief. Of course, every Muslim believes that Allah is God. But of course, the jihadists want to destroy America, and they want to engage in acts of terrorism. Many times, of course, these people are recruited into these activities. For instance, Robert Reed was actually recruited to become an Islamic shoe bomber. But the people who recruited him obviously didn't want him to do any harm, because they gave him a pair of shoes with explosives in them, but they didn't give him any blasting caps. And you can't ignore you can't ignite the plastic explosives with a fuse. And so here he is on the plane trying to ignite his shoes, the bombs in his shoes, with a fuse, and he doesn't know it's not going to go off. Same thing with the underwear bomber. How could these Islamic terrorists be that stupid? Is anything the way that it appears to be? But you go ahead and pick up the story there, Carol.
Well, it is extraordinary, isn't it? And it's mind-boggling how strange some of the efforts are. And yet, of course, the ones where the 9/11 tragedy opened the eyes of Americans, that one did work, and the whole world was shocked by the reality of the horrors of terrorism in that, when those 19 young Muslim zealots were prepared to commit suicide and took with them more than 3,000 innocent victims, innocent lives in just a matter of hours. And how quick we were to sort of gloss that over and think that that isn't part of Islam, but that is what the Quran teaches. And many, many Muslims hope for Sharia law, the idea of this complete, all-encompassing, complex way of living. They want Sharia law to be part of Islamic law in the world. And to this end, Muslims are seeking more and more converts. They're doing it through dawah, the duty to conquer. They're doing it by going into prisons, by going into schools, by going into all sorts of things across the internet, by this, for instance, this huge convention going to be in Long Beach.
Carol, are you going to go down to that convention?
Sorry?
Are you going to go down to that convention in Long Beach?
I'm not sure, Dr. Stan.
Well, if you do, I had a friend who just went to one. In fact, I just gave a talk about last week. I stayed with a group, a couple, Bob and Bev, who are certainly the fine Christians there. But they went to one of these conventions, and what did they find at this Muslim convention? Why they found a table there where the FBI was actively recruiting people, both FBI and CIA were recruiting Muslims to come to work for them. And they showed me all this shiny literature, beautiful pamphlets, telling these Muslims how great it was to go to work for the American government. I just wonder if you do go to this meeting down there. I hope you'll keep your eyes open and find out if there are American agents recruiting people within the Muslim faith to come to work for our government. And you have to ask yourself, why are they doing that?
Why are they doing that, Dr. Stan?
Well, I'll let you, I'll explain to you sometime off the air, okay?
Well, that is amazing.
I mean,
you know, one knows that the Muslims are seeking converts and they're attacking other religious systems, both by the sword and by the word, the jihad of the word, the jihad of deception. They're moving into every nation, seeking political power wherever they can achieve it. It is an absolute reality that they're growing. It's of course, as we've talked right at the beginning, there are divisions between it, but the major two divisions are the Sunnis and the Shiites. And the Sunnis are the largest group, and Obama admits to being a Sunni. They're about 90% of all Muslims. The Shiites are the smaller group, smaller in number, but very significant in Islamic history. And they, of course, at the moment are in the lands there in Iran, Iraq, Lebanon, Syria, Saudi Arabia, Yemen, Persian Gulf states, etc., etc. But, you know, there are presently about 1 billion people who are Muslims worldwide. They've got adherents in every continent, every nation. It's the world's fastest growing religion, second in size only to Christianity, but then Christianity, you know, is such a vast mixture of so many divisions within Christianity, but a very small group of Bible-believing Christians are treated so hostilely. But anyway, this Islam is here. It will be part of, I think, the war, that, because the Bible says that all nations are going to come against Israel. And what on earth will combine all nations to come against Israel, except the fact that Muslims in every nation are so anti-Israel and anti-Jewish and anti-Bible-believing Christians that... that could be the glue that binds together for, you know, the coming disaster. But
well, I think one of the things that really I think everybody should be concerned about is the fact that Turkey is a pivotal country over there. It's a very large Islamic country. It has been traditionally secular, just exactly as Iraq was secular. We did not like Saddam Hussein. He was a wicked and nasty person. But we financed him. We kept him in power. And then when we replaced Saddam Hussein, why we installed a new government in Iraq that was under Sharia law, and most Americans don't know that, but the Constitution, the American government, it imposed on Iraq required that Sharia law was to be the law of the country. Before that, the Christians could live there. 10% of the population were Christians. Today, the Christians have been driven out because the United States government imposed a government under Sharia law on Iraq, and that doesn't make sense. But carry that over to Turkey. Turkey has traditionally been a secular nation. And yet, of course, we're actually financing a man named Gulen, I think it is. He's a multi-billionaire operating out of Pennsylvania who's been financing this radical Islamic movement in Turkey. And now Turkey is under the control of the radical Islamic movement. Now, the army is still there. The army is secular, but both the premier and the vice premier of Turkey are from this jihadist movement. They have built all sorts of mosques. They have one mosque for every 350 people in Turkey. And Turkey, which was traditionally very favorable to the West and to Israel, has now entered the radical jihad camp within simply the last month, and not one in 10,000 Americans understands that for some reason, the CIA has been funding and pushing this whole concept. And why in heaven's name would we be actually encouraging this radical form of Islam, which threatens this peace and stability of the Middle East, but specifically the peace and stability of Israel?
It is amazing. And Dr. Stan, when you say that Christians and Jews can live, I mean, of course, many of them fear for their lives living in these Arab nations and Muslim nations particularly, but let me tell you that if a Christian or a Jew, they say that they can be spared and they can live in these Arab nations if they pay jizya, which is a penalty tax, with willing submission. So every Jew and Christian or person who will not convert to Islam has to pay a penalty tax more than the Muslim for having the privilege of staying in a Muslim nation.
But you see, it wasn't that way in Iraq until we imposed a nation under Sharia law in Iraq. It wasn't that way in Turkey until we changed the structure of that government, and only recently now, and now they are totally under Sharia law, whereas before they were under secular law. And I'd like to know, and I think every American should ask, why would the CIA, why would the American government be actually encouraging this radical form of Islam, which is the antithesis of everything that America stands for?
It is very extraordinary, but it does come together biblically. One can see that ultimately, the hatred, the push against Israel and the Jews is going to come through the Muslims that absolutely cannot stand the Jews being in Israel.
And, of course, the Jews and the Christians, and because I really believe that the coming war is going to be against not only the Jews, but against the Christians, especially because we're going to have our forces over there, and we're going to be involved in this war, even though the American people don't want it, even though there's no way that logically we can afford it, it looks like it's coming. Well, our guest has been Carol Matriciana. She has some wonderful DVDs, which we do carry. One is called Islam Rising. The other is, of course, The New Barbarians. Of course, she has lots of others on Harry Potter and on witchcraft and
the entertainment industry,
right,
and spiritual warfare and all sorts of other topics.
Well, we'll be back in just a moment here to wrap up tonight's program at Radio Liberty. Well, Carol, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, you know, Dr. Stan, people say to me many times when...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and
I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-